been waiting all week for this, and here it is. The Illegal Curve Radio Show starts now. Here comes 2 hours of hard-hitting hockey talk, and here's your host, Drew the Bear Mindell.
I can't even count the number of lies that were in that intro right there. I mean, first of all, we're not on for 2 hours tonight. We're on for 3 hours.
In 20 minutes.
You know, the show has already started 20 minutes ago. We're just reintroducing ourselves in case you missed it.
True as well.
We started off at about 20-7 tonight. We have that much to talk about. Welcome to the three-hour NHL season preview if you're just joining us. The guest coming up tonight in about 15 minutes' time, Eddie Olczyk, former Winnipeg Jet, now with Versus NBC, the Chicago Blackhawks. He's their color guy. We're thrilled to have Eddie O on in about 15 minutes' time. Coming up at 8:20 tonight, Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail, and then at 8:40, Scott Morrison of Hockey Night in Canada. We're going division by division. We're going team by team tonight. Let's start in the order in which they finished last year in the Central Division, the Chicago Blackhawks, the defending Stanley Cup champions. Do they have what it takes to repeat this year?
Well, Drew, we'll break down like our predictions at the end of the segment of how we think the division will break down. Do they have what it takes? Absolutely. I mean, they have what it takes. Do they have as much as last year? No. But do they have what it takes? Absolutely. This is a team that really didn't lose much from its top six. And they really didn't lose anything from their top four defense. I mean, that's the kind of guys who are going to play the bulk of your minutes. Now, I realize, Ladd's a loss, of course. Bufflin is a loss, although I think it's overstated. Versteega's a loss. Those are all losses. But you haven't lost much from your top four. I think Turco and Niemi are interchangeable for the most part. And you still have Taves, you still have Sharp, you still have Hossa, you still have Kane. And you got some good young talent in Dowell and Skilly. And I mean, I don't know when those guys will all come playing through and all that stuff. And Stahlberg.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, they do have a lot of talent. But is the learning curve for these guys going to be too steep?
Not really, Drew. I mean, again, these guys aren't going to be playing pressure roles. The core guys are still there. And for the most part, I mean, what veteran leadership, all that stuff. These guys have already been. Like, Taves has been through gold medal, Stanley Cup. Patrick Kane, Olympic final, Stanley Cup. These guys have all been to the pressure situations. Patrick Sharp, I believe, played in the World Championships. This team has what it takes. I don't think they're going to win the Cup, but they certainly can win the Cup.
And the thing in Chicago is there will be a learning curve as far as the replacements go, fitting in on a defending Stanley Cup team. Not that Pisani hasn't been there with Edmonton, but you've got Fernando Pisani, Brian Bickle, Victor Stahlberg, Ryan Patolny, Jack Skilly. Those guys are the replacements on those third and fourth lines. So there will be a learning curve. But even if those guys falter, those guys aren't being expected to lead
exactly.
The team offensively or even really chip in more than a little bit here and there. So this is still a ridiculously good team with that high-end offensive talent up front, high-end offensive talent on defense. And in goal, I actually think going into the season, they're stronger in goal with Marty Turco. I'm very high on Marty Turco, and I still think that he's got a lot left. And I think last year going in with Huey and then Niemi becoming the starter, I think they're stronger. So I think they're still going to be a top four team in the West. But I think where they'll miss the Andrew Ladds and the Bufflins is in the playoffs when they're playing Vancouver, who got stronger.
Yep. Quickly before we go to Detroit, I will say that Turco, I'm not a big fan of. As he's a fake fan, I'm not a big fan, but he certainly will help with his puck movement and their transition game, which is already a strength.
Let's move to the Detroit Red Wings. They finished second last year, sort of an off year for the Red Wings altogether.
Yeah.
Are they going to return to their previous glory?
I mean, they're an old team, Drew, but I think they are. I got them winning the division. Think about it. They have time off. They have a terrific, I mean, top nine, really. I mean, you're adding, essentially what you're doing is you're making Mike Modano, who is apparently reinvigorated, past couple years in Dallas, hasn't really been that interested, reinvigorated, working out harder, all that stuff. Third line center. You add in Hudler, who's a great player who left last year. You have the same, basically the exact same defense, aside from the six defensemen switching out, like Saleh. And then you have Jimmy Howard, who's not great, but proved it to be pretty good last year. This is a team that my division winner here, and this is a hard division.
Yeah, I also think they're going to win the division because I think last year was the first time in 30 years that they didn't win the Central Division. But they've gotten stronger. They've brought back Hudler, and that's huge. And
huge.
We talked about this at the time, and Mikey Modano, he comes and he'll play third-line minutes, but those will be very small, low minutes mm-hmm. because Zetterberg and Datsyuk especially play in all – they play a lot, and they play in all different types of situations. So the two additions that they've made on forward are pretty significant in our estimation. So I think Detroit's going to win the division. I still think there's some problems there that they'll face in the playoffs, and they probably won't get past the conference finals, but that's just my opinion.
Their third line is Modano, Hudler, and Cleary. pretty ridiculous. I do think, though, at the end of the day, Jimmy Howard is going to cost this team more than maybe some people think.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, do you trust Jimmy Howard to get them?
I don't
them
trust Jimmy Howard. I don't.
He had a pretty underrated year last year to come in.
He did. His numbers were great.
First year as
I
a full-time NHL goalie, 37 wins. It was pretty good, and I mean, he didn't really run into any adversity last year, and I think this year there's more pressure on them somehow, which is weird, because there's always pressure on Detroit.
Interesting.
Okay, moving on to the next team in the Central Division. I mean, the Central Division is just stacked. Nashville Predators.
Yep.
This is a team, Drew. I mean, I have all the respect in the world for Barry Trotz, and we talked about him a lot last year, but I got them finishing fifth in the division this year, and people are going to say,
Nope.
Well, you know what?
Not that surprising.
You know, you've lost Jason Arnott. I realize you signed Matthew Lombardi, who I like, but you've lost Jason Arnott, and you've lost Dan Hamhuis, and you've replaced them with the aforementioned Lombardi, and really not much on the back end. I mean, you don't really have much there. So what you're doing is, I mean, you have Weber and Suter, but after that is a fair amount of drop-off on defense. I like Pecorini, but I think many times goalies are products of their system. And then up the middle is, you know, strength up the middle. I really like Colin Wilson. I think he's great talent. Lombardi is a fast player. I think, you know, sometimes he gets overmatched. And then David Legault, who I think is vastly overrated and overpaid. Strength up the middle isn't that strong. They're not that deep on the wings anymore. I just don't. This is a tough division. I see them actually finishing fifth.
Yeah, Richie, you know, I've got Nashville finishing fourth in the division and not making the playoffs this year. I still think they'll finish ahead of Columbus, but I wouldn't be shocked if they dropped to 5. There's nothing more I can say here with Nashville. I think, you know, Nashville, they made, you know, two or three really minor moves, and, you know, they, unfortunately, it's a bit of a step back. You know, yesterday they swapped Ryan Parent for Shane O'Brien and a couple of other guys. But even with your strong defense, there was talk of Jonathan Blum or Blum making the team. Cody Franzen will probably make the team. Very underrated defense, probably a top five young defense in the league. Cody Franzen, sorry, yeah.
Good puck mover.
And, but, I mean, there's a lot of talent on that forward group, but it's going to be really. We didn't talk about they added Sergei Kostitsyn, but I think they're going to be very low in the league.
Ed Hjarly, I mean, he
might not get top six.
On the roster. Period. Out of favor with Barry Trotz.
Already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't much in favor with anybody in Montreal, was he either? But Nashville. It's unfortunate because year after year they've made the playoffs 3 years in a row now, but probably not this year.
That's just the guy who won't get his head. He won't get his act together.
No.
He just can't wrap his head around what it takes to be a professional. St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues, Drew, a team everybody was high on last year, including myself. This year, I think that with a little bit less pressure, with Tkachuk leaving, with Kariya now taking a year off at least, the young guard is taking over there. But obviously the Halleck addition is massive. And you look at their team overall, and they have them finishing third in this division, but you know, in the middle of the Western Conference, because at the end of the day, Drew, you have a team that has Halleck in goal now. You have guys like Eric Johnson on the back end and Barrett Jackman and Pietrangelo can get his game going and move the puck well. And they still could use a little bit of help on defense, but they have guys who can improve within the team. And then up front, you have guys who are bound for bounce-back years, like Brad Boyes. David Backes should be better. David Perron should continue to progress. TJ Oshie, same kind of thing. Patrick Berglund should have a bounce-back year. A lot of talent here. Very young. Alex Steen played really well at the end of the year, too. Very young, but I see them taking next steps forward, especially with the confidence in the netminding.
Well, let's talk about the netminding. I mean, do you think that Halleck, you know, can Halleck keep it going, what he did in the playoffs?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he is probably the one goalie that, you know, 15 teams wanted, maybe even 25 teams wanted this after that run in Montreal. The Canadiens wouldn't have gotten past the first round without him. I mean,
the second round either.
He literally stood on his head for Montreal, and that's why it was such a big shock that he left. They let him go. They moved him. I think that St. Louis, I have finishing third in this division, and they were very close to making the playoffs last year. I just don't see this year being the same as last year when they made the playoffs and then you know retreated. So St. Louis is going to be fine. And Drew, I mean, goal is the one area where they have nothing to worry about. I mean, Halak will most likely play 60 to 65 games without any question of someone else playing. I mean, Conklin is their backup, but I mean, there's no question here with Price. I mean, last year Price was the number one goalie at the beginning of the year, and in this year in St. Louis, it's all about rebuilding. I think Davis Payne, Drew. I know you like him. I think he's a coach, a name of a coach that we're going to hear a lot about this year.
I mean, there are. This is a team that I think they are trusting their young forwards a lot, though. And they also, yep, to be honest with you, are, you know, there's not that much depth on defense. I like this team. I don't think they can compete with those upper echelon guys, but I think they're certainly established themselves in the middle.
And Richie, really quickly, with Kariya and Tkachuk gone,
yeah,
Kariya, his career might be over, but he's gone for at least this,
yep,
year.
Mm-hmm.
Tkachuk's career is over. He retired.
Right.
This really is a completely new young team.
It is.
Annie McDonald's the only veteran there, maybe with Brad Boyes, yeah, who's only 27 years old. So.
Very true. So, I mean, the St. Louis Blues are certainly a team that expectations aren't as high as they were last year, and they've added a good goaltender. I think they're flying under the radar, which is good for them. Hopefully they can, you know, garner the interest in St. Louis with a team, you know, city that obviously the Rams are playing well now, and the Cardinals are, it's really a St. Louis Cardinals city. So if they can really get some interest in St. Louis and start, you know, getting some more fans in the building, that would be great. Because if you look at their forward corps, they have one guy over 30, and their defense, one guy over 30, who's Eric Brewer. And
it's got to be the youngest team in the league, no?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Maybe so, Edmonton?
Yeah. You know what? That's a good question, and I can check on that right now, Ezzy, if you want. In terms of youth, you want to talk about Columbus?
Yeah.
You're in?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, I'll jump in here.
I'm jumping back and forth here, but I'm in for the Columbus discussion.
Okay, quickly, I got Columbus.
We got that.
Richie already said that he's got Columbus finishing ahead of Nashville.
St. Louis says he's the fourth youngest team in the league.
Oh, fourth, okay. Yeah. Edmonton's got to be.
Colorado 1, Toronto 2, Edmonton 3, St. Louis 4.
Okay, I can see that. But really quickly, if Columbus finishing last in the division again, and I know you said you don't, yeah, you have Nashville, no. I think they'll improve, and I think Scotty Arneal will do well, but I still think that they don't have enough depth on forward, and I think they're going to lose a lot of games in their own division to Detroit and Chicago,
sure,
and it's going to be very difficult for them to make the playoffs.
When I look at the Columbus offense, I see a lot of talent. I see Rick Nash, I see Huselius, I see Umberger, guys who are versatile. I see Broussard and Filatov and Voracek. I mean, that's a lot more offense than I think Nashville has, and you could even argue more offense than St. Louis has, natural offense, at least natural talent. Their defense has been terrible since the franchise came to the NHL. I don't know why this is unaddressed. They're overpaying Commodore, obviously. Kessler really hasn't turned into what you thought. Tootin's a solid stay-at-home defenseman as well as Hayda. But, you know, Chris Russell has to become that offensive defenseman. We've talked about that for a couple of years now. You know, their defense leaves a lot to be desired. I think they're better overall, though, than Nashville, but I think it's close. I think they're going to finish better because I think their young players are going to take a step forward on offense. Steve Mason also needs to have a bounce back year.
They're paying him a lot of money now.
I thought they paid him a lot of money far too soon, but he has talent, and he obviously has shown the ability in the past to be able to take the team to the next level when they took him to the playoffs for the first time. So he has the talent, but they're going to, you know, rely on him a lot there.
In that division, though, three teams made it last year: the Hawks, the Wings, and the Predators.
Four the year before.
If the Blue Jackets are going to make the playoffs this year, and you have to assume that we both like the Blues and the Predators,
right,
we don't like, it'll have to be four teams again.
Right.
That's the strongest division. And I mean, but not to mention the Pacific Division we haven't even talked about yet.
Right, but it's possible that only one team from the Northwest makes it.
Right.
Well, I mean, the four teams from the Northeast made it last year out of the East. I mean, if you think back to it.
The Northeast, sorry, that's a good, yeah.
Yeah, and then Boston, Buffalo, Toronto, or Boston, Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal made it last
year.
You could all see
benefiting from playing each other. That's why this division should be a balanced schedule. So, I mean, the schedule should be balanced.
Well, it is a little ridiculous. I do agree with you there.
Wrote an article about that. It's ridiculous, but we'll talk to it for another day.
Let's go real quick. So go 1 through 5.
1 through 5.
Recap.
Detroit 1, Chicago 2, St. Louis 3, Columbus 4, Nashville 5.
The only difference I have, Drew, is I have Nashville 4, Columbus 5.
Okay, and I have Chicago, then Detroit, and I have Nashville, and I mean, I think Columbus, you know, something about St. Louis, I don't know, I'm not loving this here.
Sure.
Okay, anyways, let's leave it there. When we come back, we have Eddie Olczyk coming up from NBC, from Versus, from the Chicago Blackhawks. He's the color analyst.
Winnipeg Jets,
you know how it is. Anyways, join us. We're here for the next 2 hours and 40 minutes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show, 720.
Hootie and the Blowfish?
Remus requested the Hootie and the Blowfish. What
that
can I say?
Hootie and Blowfish sounded a bit like 54 or 40.
Oh, my God.
A little Darius Rucker?
Anyways, Remus's request. That's why we went for it.
Bring us
anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. You're live on 92.9 KICK FM and those joining us at www.ustream.tv/illegalcurve. We're pleased to welcome our first guest in tonight's NHL season preview show. We're pleased to welcome from Versus, from NBC, and from the Chicago Blackhawks color analyst, Eddie Olczyk. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Good evening. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Ed. It's a thrill to talk to a great Winnipeg Jet like yourself.
Well, it's always nice to be back on in the peg, and enjoyed myself the short little trip from Chicago to Winnipeg when the Blackhawks were up there to take on the Lightning and exhibition play. So always nice to visit Winnipeg, and always nice to be on back there.
Oh, that's great, Ed. Let's start with the Blackhawks. I mean, that's where you do your bulk of your work as their color analyst. I mean, is there a fear amongst the organization that there could be a Stanley Cup hangover that affects them to start the season?
I don't know if there's a fear. I think that they certainly understand how tough it is, and look over the last, 20 years, it's only happened a couple of times. So, I think it's probably guarded more than fear. I think for this team, the core of this team, and of course led by the captain in Winnipeg's very own Jonathan Toews, they're not going to be in a situation where they're going to be letting down. I mean, you got teams that are going to be gunning for you night in and night out, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and perform and give it everything you possibly can.
Ed, you're obviously the champion until somebody knocks you off the top there. And is there a team that you look at in the Western Conference at least? Is there a team that you look at maybe from the Blackhawks perspective and you go, whoa? I mean, that is the biggest threat that we have to becoming a repeat champion.
Well, I really like what Detroit did. They've added some experience, not only Mike Modano, Ruslan Soleil on the back end, mm-hmm. but they got Yuri Hudler back as well. They have three lines that can score. I think they're well rested. I mean, the last couple of years, mm-hmm. before this past season, they played a lot of hockey, back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals. An older team. The biggest question mark is, can Jimmy Howard, their goaltender, play a little bit longer and a little bit better than he did last year? Everybody's talking about Vancouver. I love what Mike Gillis did as far as on the back end, getting Dan Hamhuis, getting Keith Ballard. I don't know if Sammy Sell is ever going to be completely right. healthy. That would be a big boost for them. I like the additions of Rafi Torres and Manny Melholtzer, but I just don't know. After the Sedin twins, and I've seen that team the last couple of years in the playoffs, mm-hmm. after that, who is going to score if they face a checking line like they've done the last couple of years against Chicago? So I don't know. I don't think that they have enough scoring after the Sedins. And again, I think a lot of Roberto Luongo, but he hasn't been able to do it in mm-hmm. the National Hockey League playoffs. And I know he won the gold medal last year, but that's not the National Hockey League playoffs. And until he can take the next step, to me, the jury's still out. But I think those are the two teams right now that I would say will be certainly fighting for one of the top three or four spots, along with San Jose in the Western Conference.
Eddie, as we mentioned before, in addition to working for Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, you also work for NBC and Versus doing national telecasts. So you obviously have a chance to see every team in the NHL. If we could get maybe a prediction for you as far as a couple of teams in each conference that you believe will surprise people.
Well, I think in the Western Conference, to me, a team that is really on the cusp of taking that next step is the LA Kings. And I know a lot of people have talked about them, but I think that's one team that I was looking at going, if they can, and there's probably 20 other teams in the league that's saying that they need another center iceman.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could find another center iceman to help support Anze Kopitar,
yeah.
you got yourself a heck of a hockey team, because when you have a guy like Drew Doughty playing 30 minutes a night for you, they picked up Willie Mitchell from Vancouver. I don't know what his situation is with the concussion, but sounds like he's good to go. So that's an outstanding pickup. He'll pick up a lot of the slack for Sean O'Donnell, a veteran guy who did a great job with the youngster Doughty.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, LA's the team. Now, I'm not sure about Quick and Bernier just yet, but we've seen it. If you get consistent goaltending, I mean, who thought last year, very few people, first of all, Michael Layton wasn't even with the Philadelphia Flyers, right before, the Christmas time. And Antti Niemi had only played 8 games before Christmas in Chicago. So I think if you can get consistent goaltending, if those two goalies for L.A. can do that, and somehow they can get, you know, a second line center somehow, some way. To me, the LA Kings are probably the one team that I would look to go. They become a legitimate threat in the Western Conference. That's a big if, because there's probably, like I said, another 15, 20 teams that are looking for that same type of player.
Who do you think will surprise in the East?
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you have your obvious teams. I mean, you got your, you know, your Pittsburghs, your Washingtons, your Philadelphia. Jersey's always going to be there. I've wrestled with this. I've looked at Toronto and I've looked at Tampa. I like the addition of Simon Gagné coming down there. I mean, you could argue, I would argue, that Tampa's top five forwards, when you look at Stamkos and St. Louis and Lecavalier and Gagné and Ryan Malone, you know, you could argue that throughout the National Hockey League, you say, you know what, I'll put those five guys up against 20 other teams that have, you know, that elite caliber, and say, you know what, they're going to be all right. I mean, they got three good defensemen down there. So I like what Tampa's doing. I like the way they're going about it because of their forwards. Then you got the big three on the back end with Hedman and Olin and Kubina. So I think Tampa might be a team that that is able to find its way in to the Eastern Conference playoffs. And with Toronto, they've added some grit with Colby Armstrong. They've gotten a high risk high reward type of player in Christopher Stieg, who had, sounds like, a tremendous preseason there in Toronto. So I would say that Toronto and Tampa Bay are probably the two teams that I'm going to look to that, you know, a lot of people probably feel that they fall into that same, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 category. But I would say Tampa first and then Toronto that could surprise and find themselves into a first-round playoff opportunity.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show, and we're joined by Ed Olczyk on the line. Now, Ed, let's move to Washington, where this is a team that has, you know, for the last couple of years, performed at the top of their class come in the regular season, but they just can't get anything going in the playoffs. What do you see from them this coming season? Do they have enough to take that next step and potentially represent the East in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, the time is now for the Washington Capitals, and you know, I just don't know yet if their defense is able to defend when the game and the series are on the line. You got two young goaltenders there. We know that they can score. We know that they can really generate offense and play that type of way. So, for me, it's can they defend when the games are on the line? And are their young goaltenders going to be able to withstand the pressure of, you know, them being, you know, one of the two favorites in the Eastern Conference? To me, Pittsburgh is the team to beat. I love what Philadelphia did. I really love what Paul Holmgren did on his back end. And that was the one thing that really hurt the Flyers guys last year, was their lack of depth after the Big Four.
Yeah.
Now they've added Andre Mazzaros. You get a guy like Sean O'Donnell who's going to be able to eat up minutes, and Matt Walker, who's a good, strong, tough defensive defenseman, and that's what you need. You need your fifth and sixth D to be able to eat some minutes, to kill some penalties, to take up some of those hard minutes away, from Pronger and teaming in and those type of things. But again, is Michael Layton going to be able to do what he did last year? I mean, he's going to be out for the first little while because of a back. But for me right now, it's in that order. It's Pittsburgh, it's Washington, and then it's Philadelphia.
Ed, you do obviously you do color for the Chicago Blackhawks, and so within that division, obviously, is the Detroit Red Wings, and then some teams that get less attention: Columbus, Nashville, and St. Louis. Out of those three teams, and we just talked about it right before you came on, they've had some veteran losses, all of them, and they're a little bit of, changes all around. Of those three teams, which of those three do you think will be the toughest team for the Blackhawks and Red Wings to play six times per year?
Yeah, well, it always seems to be St. Louis. I mean, Chicago, St. Louis have a great rivalry. They always have. And, I like the direction that John Davidson and Doug Armstrong are going down. There was a great trade getting Yaroslav Halak. Yeah. Now they've got a goaltender, for the most part. I mean, he's only, how many opportunities did he have last year, including in the playoffs, and played very, very well. So there's a great confidence there. It's a changing of the guard. They got some young players that are now stepping to the forefront, up front with Keith Tkachuk now gone. So, you know, to me, St. Louis, Nashville's always there. I think you got to look at Barry Trotz and David Poyle for what they do. I mean, their payroll, their salary cap isn't a high number. You know, they've made some changes. You know, I mean, Jason Arnott is out. You know, they lost Dan Hamhuis. You know, they've got a change over there. But every year, they're always there. You know, they just always seem to be there. And for Columbus, you know, I'm wishing the best for Arnie. Scott Arneal, former teammate of mine there in the Peg.
And, yeah, that's right.
I'm hoping that you know, I'm hoping that things can work out there. But you know, they're still looking for, you know, they're still looking for a center iceman to play with Rick Nash, and that's, you know, that's no disrespect to Scotty Housen, but that's been going on there for the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And you know, to me, Rick Nash, you know, Rick Nash is at his best is when he gets the puck in a blue line in. When he's the guy that's skating through the neutral zone, he has that ability. But
right.
You know, if he could ever, you know, and there's that centerman I'm talking about with LA. Is
sure.
If you find Rick Nash as centerman, to me, he's going to score 60 goals because he just has that uncanny ability to be able to use that body and get to the net and score goals. So to me, it's I think St. Louis is going to have a good year. So I look St. Louis, Nashville in a dogfight, and I see Columbus. You know, being right under those guys. And Steve Mason's got to have a bounce back year
sure
for them
does.
After his tough second year in the National Hockey League.
One team that's really had a quiet offseason, and it's usually a franchise that, you know, likes to make a little bit of noise, is the New York Rangers. And, you know, very quiet, not a lot going on there coming out of Madison Square Garden. How short or how long of a leash do you think Glenn Sather has as general manager of the Rangers?
you look at. Look at the strength of their team, and it's in goal with Henrik Lundqvist. I will say this. I think one of the best moves that was made all offseason was getting Marty Biron to back up Henrik Lundqvist. I think Marty Biron is a very serviceable goaltender, and I love his contract. Now, that's probably about the only good contract that's probably been handed out there besides Brandon DaVinci's last year where they play hardball with him. Where,
right.
You know, and that's the one thing, too, and this isn't, you know, this is a serious issue throughout the National Hockey League, is that teams, managers, where however you want to lay the blame, is, you know, they're bypassing players' second contracts, meaning, as you guys know, there's a hard salary cap and there's a hard cap on entry-level players, 3 years. And I'm not talking about your Johnny Taves or your Steven Stamkos, but not those type of players. Those guys are going to go from the cap of $8.75 or $9.50. Those guys are going to go to $5 and $6 million because those guys are studs. I'm talking about the guys that play, you know, they're in their junior team first year, the American League for their first year. Then they come up and play, you know, three quarters of the season. Then they play a full year. You know, they get 12, 15 goals or they log 20 minutes of ice time on the back end. Instead of playing hardball, the teams have all the leverage. These players, what are these players' options? Well, I guess you can sit out. You can negotiate. You can go to Europe, I guess. Or, you know, you don't play. And, you know, that's the one thing that is really, really hurting a lot of teams, is that they're just bypassing on good players. Mm-hmm. And you need good players. But when you have a player that goes from $675 or $700 to $3.5 million and you do that two or three different players, it adds up, and in a salary cap world, and that's exactly what happened in Chicago, to be exact. And there's been a lot of situations. And I talked about Brandon Dubinsky. He sat out last year. Remember, he sat out early in camp, and Glenn played hardball with him, and he signed a good deal. You know, I mean, Brandon Dubinsky's a good player, but he's not one of those $3.5-4 million guys.
Right.
Now I look and see what they did. Because, you know, the player does not have the leverage. The team does, and you got to squeeze them. Because once the player gets leverage, whether it's arbitration or free agency, you guys know exactly what's going to end up happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at what they did with Mark Stahl. I mean, Mark Stahl, he's a very good player. But to go to just under $4 million for him, that's what's really hurting. And you see the Rangers, I mean, they're in a tough spot. I mean, they got some serious issues, and, you know, and they still really don't have a centerman. I mean, they might not have two centermen.
Yeah, it's true.
To be able to help out a guy like Marian Gaborik. So, you know, to me, I'm not sure, but certainly if the Rangers don't get off to a good start, I don't doubt that there's more than just one hot seat going on at Madison Square Garden.
True.
Okay, we want to move to Northern Alberta here and get your opinion on a team here named the Edmonton Oilers. Your brother Rick is obviously the assistant GM there. How excited is the city of Edmonton right now with all of this young talent?
Well, I think they're very excited. You know, I do get a chance to chat with my brother often, and he's just thrilled to be in the league again and to be working alongside Steve Tambellini and Kevin Lowe, a former teammate of mine with the Rangers back in '94. I mean, they're really excited, and they have a plan. They have tremendous new ownership going on. I think people understand what they're trying to do, and I think that's all you can do as a team. And I relate it a lot when I was in Pittsburgh 5 years ago, and we pretty much just had to blow it up. We had to let people know that we were going to bare-bone it, and this is what we were going to try to do. And, you know, at one point when I was coaching in Pittsburgh my first year, I mean, we had 12 players in the lineup for about 35 games that hadn't even played. Wow. 150 games between the 12, you know, between the 12 players. And, you know, I think if you have a plan and you know, you just can't abandon it a time through because it's not going according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have to have a plan. You got to stick to it. And I think that's what the Edmonton Oilers have done. I mean, they made the coaching change. Tom Rennie's now at the helm. They brought Steve Smith back to work with the defensemen. You know, you have some really, really good young players. Now, you're asking a lot. But you look at where they are. And where were they last year? And can it get any worse? No, it can't.
No,
I mean, you can't fall any. So you have to make some changes. You know, they brought some character guys in there, Curtis Foster and Jim Vandermeer. Hopefully, Hobby Boulin, Nick can bounce back from everything that's gone on with him, both on and off the ice, and give them consistent goaltending. They get Hemsky back. He's a talented player. It seems like Horkoff has really, you know, kind of clicked with some of those young players that they have in Hall and Eberle. But I like the direction that they're going, and it's going to take some time. I mean, you know, can they make a run? Well, yeah, why not? I mean, you got a real good goalie, you got some great young players, but you're going to need a lot of things to go right. But for me, I think that they are in a they're certainly a couple years away from being a team that is really going to be a dangerous team because of the young players and the direction that the Edmonton Oilers are going.
Eddie, we've got one last question for you here. We wish that you were on for the full 3 hours of the show, but we've got one last question for you. You know, we're all Winnipeg boys, and in 1995 at a Save the Jets rally, and this, by the way, is a question that everyone in Winnipeg wants to ask you. You mentioned that you were going to bring the cup back to Winnipeg. Now we want to know what are your thoughts on the possible return of the NHL to Winnipeg. And if you have a chance, would you bring the cup back to Winnipeg?
Well, I will say this. I have the utmost respect for the city of Winnipeg and for anybody that loved the Winnipeg Jets as much as I did. I mean, it was one of the real big thrills of my career to be able to spend almost 6 years of my 16 years representing the city of Winnipeg first and foremost and playing for the Winnipeg Jets and becoming entrenched in the community. I'm proud to say, and I'm glad to say, is that Johnny Toews beat me to it. I'm glad Johnny brought the cup back back to his home. But I am a man of my word, and if I ever get in a position that I am with an NHL team again at an important part of the organization, is that at some point I'd certainly love to do that. But I'm hoping against hope is that it is going to happen. I really do believe, guys, and I think anybody in Winnipeg that knows me and knows my personality is, I really believe it's going to happen. I don't know when. I would never hope for another team in the league to lose their team. I could never imagine growing up in Chicago and seeing one of my favorite sports teams, whether it's the Cubs or the Bears or the Blackhawks, leave town. I know what it did to a lot of people in the city of Winnipeg, and I'm hoping against hope that it will happen. So long-winded. I do believe it's going to happen, and I will make sure that I am somewhere in the building when the Winnipeg Jets or whatever they end up calling them are back in the National Hockey League, because I think the city deserves it, I think Canada deserves it, and most importantly, the people of Winnipeg. So I'm hoping against hope that it's sooner than later, and I would love to see that.
Eddie Olczyk of Comcast Sports Chicago, NBC Versus. Thanks very much for joining us tonight on the NHL season preview show here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show. And, you know, very much enjoy the season here, Eddie.
All right, guys. Anytime you guys ever need to kill a few hours, I got nothing else going, right? I'm just talking hockey my whole life.
Great.
So, great to be on with you guys. Best of luck, and we'll look forward to chatting with you down the road.
Thanks very much. Take care, Eddie.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. I mean, he's going to be in the city when
a class act.
Yeah, You know, we said off the air, we've heard from so many people that he's just a class act and a nice guy.
I confirmed it.
And Richie, when just really quickly before we go to break, and I believe everyone in this room, Hart, Drew, Michael, Richard, when I booked Eddie, I instantly texted everybody. I ran into him on in the fifth floor press box at the MTS Center during the exhibition game between the Hawks and Lightning, and he was talking to me, and we talked for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and amazing guy, and we could have easily talked to him for 3 hours.
Oh, easily.
And I think he would have enjoyed it if he didn't have other commitments, but that was unreal.
Well, we still have another 2 hours and 20 minutes left in the show, so maybe if he wants to call back, we'll get him back on the air. Sure. Anyways, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Northwest Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show's 2010-2011 NHL Season Preview, live on 92.9 KICK FM. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. 7:45 here tonight, a little bit of Led Zeppelin, which is, I assume, Ezzy, you're going to agree with me, way better than last week's dance music picks I was going with.
Yeah, the Jersey Shore songs, those weren't bad. It's fun, though. I mean, it's good it's good that we switch up the music once in a while, but I don't know, Drew. I think, was that the best interview we've ever had or what?
It's Eddie Olczyk. I mean, it's a guy, that speech is just, I can still picture that speech going on in my head with the passion that he exuded. And I can't believe I just spent the last, break trying to find it on YouTube. I can't believe that's not on YouTube.
I couldn't get in that day.
You couldn't get in that day?
No, me and my dad went, we got rejected. Not enough room in the arena.
It's too bad. You have to know, I'm shocked you didn't know somebody that could pull you in.
I was in there. Actually. Stay down
there. I was in there. I was sitting in the family section.
She must have been like 6 years old or something.
It was 1996. I was probably
nine.
I must have been nine.
Ten.
That sounds like bad parenting to allow you to go there when you're 10 years old by yourself.
I don't know. I was with my uncle. I remember someone jacked up our spot in the parking lot of Polo, and he got a big fight with her, and we sat in the upper deck. And remember the upper deck Winnipeg Arena was the steepest. Oh, it was scary up there.
God. The entire Winnipeg Arena, I think, was scary.
Remember when you used to, if you sat in the last row in the lower deck, you would, the last two or three rows, you were actually behind beams? So you actually couldn't see the ice. Oh, you were behind those, vents and beams. It was hilarious. And there was, three or four TVs set up that were probably, 22-inch TVs that all they did was show the scoreboard. Yeah. That was unreal.
You couldn't see the scoreboard.
That was a hat-trick game.
That old Winnipeg Arena was the best.
Yeah. Well, there's the best and the worst.
Yeah.
Let's start to the Northwest Division. Let's move in order again as they finished last season. Let's start in Vancouver. Expectations are high in Vancouver. Richard, you've added your pressure to the Canucks. Do they have what it takes? Have they shored up their defense? Is this the Western Conference representative in the Stanley Cup?
I said that it is, and I'll explain a little bit further. I mean, you have the Sedins up front, and with Burrows coming back from injury eventually in November, December. Great speed, puck handling, everything there that you need. Although Burrows needs to remember that he's not the top scorer, and he needs to play other roles a little bit better. Kessler's a terrific number two center. He had 70 points last year, I believe, right around there. Good defensively, good physical. He can do it all for you. Especially guys keep his emotions in check, but he's very good. You put in Mason Raymond, who's a very talented, good skater with a good shot on the right side there. Add in Torres on the left side of the third line. Add in Malhotra for faceoffs and. Sometimes their depth players haven't been as good as other teams in the past, and their defense has been lacking. In this case, I think they've improved upon their depth. I think they're going to have less issues, although their depth doesn't match up with, say, Detroit. But they're stronger in net, and they've improved on defense. And I think overall, this team has what it takes. Alain Vigneault, though, guys, we haven't talked much about that. This team starts struggling.
Is he? You're saying that if they start off slow, I think this team is going to start off slow. When you add all these new parts to this team, you have to give them time to gel.
Burrow's injury,
yeah,
that's true.
Mike
Gillis is a very patient guy, but remember this one thing, guys. Alain Vigneault wasn't Mike Gillis's hire.
I know, but it seems like if he wasn't his hire, they would have gotten rid of him during one of the last two playoff disappointments.
I'm just saying this team really does. You have a window, Drew. Especially in the cap system, you have a window. The Canucks aren't young.
No, they're not.
So I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I'm not coming on here and saying that, but I'm saying the pressure will be on him.
I mean, there's pressure on everybody, and expectations are going to be as high as they've ever been in Vancouver.
And pressure changes.
And Drew, that's a point well taken, though. I mean, when you look at coaches on the hot seat, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to touch on that, but we'll be able to touch on it in the first few weeks, because if a team struggles early, it's not uncommon in the NHL for a coach to be fired after a week, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We've seen that time and time again. But a lot of people aren't talking about Vigneault being on the hot seat because everyone's predicting Vancouver to possibly win the Stanley Cup. But he has to be on the hot seat more so than a Babcock because no one's expecting the pressure is different in Detroit. It's always there. Vancouver,
yeah, that's right.
The last two or three years it's been, oh, okay, like that's this right. is the time now. Mm-hmm. This is the time for this team to win the Stanley Cup as opposed to, you know, making the playoffs, even in the Morrison-Bertuzzi era, you know, back in the day with Crawford.
There were different
expectations. Yep. These are better players. You've got two of the best players in the world in the Sedin brothers, and not to mention the best goalie in the world, right? So I think there's a lot of interesting things in Vancouver. I mean, with that Burrows injury, that's kind of, caused a little bit of havoc there in their top two lines. Sure. I mean, you saw that today, Richie. Guillaume Desbien and Alexander Bolduc, two Moose guys, they made the team.
Yep.
Those guys aren't being sent down to Manitoba. They were trying Jeff Tambellini. They put on waivers. Yeah. And, this is a really strong team. And, I mean, Malhotra, Torres, Janik Hansen on your third line, that's a pretty decent third line.
But at the same time, and the other way, we'll talk a little bit more about Vancouver than the other teams because I think Vancouver is the biggest threat. As you mentioned that, but Malhotra doesn't put much offense in at all.
Nope.
Torres loses his confidence and goes weeks without scoring goals. And Janik Hansen isn't exactly a sniper. So, I mean, you're going to need – you played really well at even strength last year. You can create a lot of offense. But if some injuries hit this team, they could have issues, especially on those – what I'm saying is the guys on those lower lines play their roles well, better than the players they had before. But they're not loaded like Chicago was last year, Detroit is this year. Or, you know, even the kind of depth maybe that even like a team like LA in terms of third line. So.
But isn't that why there was such optimism that a Jordan Schrader or Cody Hodgson would make this team? Mm-hmm. Because those are the guys that you would put on the third
line.
That's right. Yeah. And then you have your offensive guy. Hodgson is, you know, rated a top five prospect in the NHL right now, who isn't in the NHL, but because he didn't play last year, and Schrader's so young, he was an 09 draft pick, if I'm not mistaken. Those guys will start the year in Manitoba, but I agree with you. I mean, I'm thinking once again, Richie. I'm thinking Vancouver will easily, win not easily, but they'll finish first or second or third in the Western Conference, regardless of where they
win the division.
They'll be a top team. They will win the Northwest.
Yeah.
But those guys, I'm looking to propel them in the playoffs. Those are guys where you're in the playoffs now.
Yep.
These are guys that were scorers in junior hockey, but now they're a little bit older. Malhotra is a little bit older than Torres, but those are guys that now are niche players.
Yep.
Torres is a grinder.
That's exactly right. They're
Torres
niche players.
Is a grinder.
Yep, absolutely.
And Malhotra is a face-off guy who will chip in better than you'd expect, maybe. Vancouver will be very tough to beat night in and night out, and there's probably going to be some movement. I can't see forwards not being brought up at some point with those two prospects. I would put Hodgson ahead of Schrader, but
the thing about Mike Gillis is we're going to transition over here to the next team. But the thing about Mike Gillis is quickly is very patient and he makes a lot of good decisions. He's been one of the best GMs in the National Hockey League over the past couple of years, in my opinion. Let's talk a little bit though about Colorado. Colorado is a team that, this is a team that last year exceeded everybody's expectations. They brought in Craig Anderson. Anderson was tremendous. He performed far better than people thought he was going to. Then you have guys like Deshane, and then Stasny was a point of game. Deshane kind of really carved out a nice niche for himself. Obviously, he's getting better. Chris Stewart emerged as a 25 plus goal scorer. There was, they brought in Wojciech. They shipped out Wolski and they added Mueller, who played well. And now they played well. And then obviously he has the concussion issues. But there's a lot of young talent there, and there's a lot of room for growth. So while this team exceeded expectations last year, there is some room this year to possibly get better. But we got a call, right, Drew?
Yes, Benny is on the line. He has a question about a Canucks prospect.
Let's hear it.
So
we got Benny on the line. Benny, what's up? Benny.
Hey, I love the show.
Thank you, Benny.
I just got a question for Ezra Ginsberg. I just want to know what he thinks about the prospect, Black Freddy Krueger.
who's that?
Ask Ezra about Black Freddy Krueger.
Is this guy from the Howard Stern show?
I'm pretty sure that is that your buddy?
I think this might be someone maybe I met on the streets of Chicago or Minneapolis, but
no, we'll go back to talking about Colorado.
Okay, goodbye, Benny.
Yeah, Benny's already gone. anyways, we'll go back to talking about Colorado, and what I was saying before is this team. Now, while they exceeded expectations last year, I actually have them finishing second in this division because the other teams aren't very good, and because guys like Stasny's getting better, he's young, getting better, Deshane's getting better, Chris Stewart is going to get better, these guys are all getting better, there's a lot of young talent there. Now, Mueller injury is going to hurt because of the concussion problems,
hurt them, yes.
That's going to hurt, but Craig Anderson's the real deal, guys.
Do you really believe that?
I do believe that. Craig Anderson is the real deal, and they're playing against other poor teams. I mean, I think that them and Calgary is really the debate of who finishes second in this division, but I'm going to go with Colorado. I think Calgary doesn't have enough scoring. I think that there's possibilities that Calgary could maybe exceed expectations because they're low this year. But I'm going to go with Colorado because I think their players, their young players, which Calgary doesn't really have any of, are going to improve and get better and take on a bigger role.
Let's talk about Calgary. I think is the last kick at the can for the Sutter brothers.
We're going to ask Dehash about that. Yeah, but yeah, I think so.
I want to preface what I'm about to say by first off saying that I think one team is making the playoffs from this division. It's only Vancouver.
I think you're probably right about that.
I have Colorado fourth in this division, Rich.
And really?
I have Calgary 2, Edmonton 3. You ought to agree Minnesota's last.
No, I don't.
Only Edmonton last?
I think Minnesota's going sideways in terms of organization.
Sideways like Paul Giamatti.
organization building. But I think that for this year, I think Minnesota still has enough veteran talent to be ahead of Edmonton.
Okay, this is why I think the Peter Mueller injury is really, really significant here. I think that Colorado, it's arguable who has more talent offensively, Calgary or Colorado. They both have holes. But I don't disagree with you. Craig Anderson, I think that is not an option here. He's going to give you really good performances night in and night out. Consistency is not an issue. I think that the kind of good years that they got from Chris Stewart and a really good rookie year for Duchesne, I'm not saying that those guys are going to fall off big time, but I think the team is too young. I see a sophomore jinx for this team.
I just don't think they're going
to under Joe Sacco.
They're just not going to sneak up and surprise anybody anymore.
Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not saying Colorado's anything to write home about, but this division's awful.
But hang on, and Richard. You have them second, but you don't have them making the playoffs.
No, I don't have them making the
playoffs. So, I mean, what we're talking about is, like, we're talking about a one division, the division winner gets in, and then Colorado's ninth or tenth or something.
And same thing with Calgary.
I think it's going to be a similar situation.
Okay, well, let's go to Calgary. I mean, really, a team that's had high expectations every year since that Cup Finals against Tampa Bay.
Yep, right.
And every year they have failed to meet expectations. Is this the last year before they say, okay, if we haven't done it, we're blowing it up?
It's almost like Daryl and Sutter to kind of make this be the year that they make another run and he kind of saves his job.
Yeah, they have to.
I feel kind of like that's possible. But, I mean, you look at this team on paper, guys, and obviously up the middle they thought they were going to be strong. They bring back Jokinen. Complete question mark. You have Lankout. Now he's got he had the neck injury in Minnesota last year. Still not back. It was a bad injury. Stajan goes down with the shoulder. You have to go to a point where you obviously don't trust Michael Backlund in that role and you want to shift him to the wing. That's fine if you want to shift him to the wing in the top six. But you bring in Brendan Morrison. I mean, Brendan Morrison, guys, look at his numbers from Washington.
I like that move.
No, I don't mind the move because it's necessary, but if that's necessary, you have issues.
That's not your answer to anything. It can't be your answer.
No, but I don't think it is. I think that's a smart waiver wire pickup for $750,000.
I agree, but what I'm saying is if he's your second line center, Ezzy, you're in trouble.
You can't be relying on him for second line minutes.
Because of injuries. Because Lankow is having, injury problems that continue, and Stajan is injured.
But he is.
I mean, Morrison's a third line center on that team once those guys are back, right?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I still think... Two things. I think that this is the last year... I think this is the last year for Daryl Sutter, especially. More so than Brent Sutter. Brent Sutter came in last year and didn't do a very good job because of his past history with being so successful. But I think that Calgary is going to struggle to make the playoffs. They'll probably be a little bit better than last year, but it's the same thing. I mean,
if they don't make the playoffs, I think they're both out.
That might very well be the case, Drew. But I mean, Richie touched this, and I'm kind of beating a dead horse here. They don't have enough offense. I'm not really against the acquisitions of bringing Tanguay and Jokinen back, but I mean with Stajan, Lankow out down the middle, those are huge guys, and you've got some decent offensive talent. Still got the horses on defense.
I mean, it's just not enough. Quickly on Calgary, your top line.
I mean,
you're relying on Jokinen and Tanguy for bounce back years. If they don't have them, what do you do? And your second line, Stajan's out right now. Even if he's back, Stajan, Bork, who I like. Who? And then you have your third line, and you know your Kotelikson. And I like Hagman; he could be a good player, but you know he's not a bad player. But you have your Kotelikson. You need Moss to improve. I like,
and Moss is injured right now too, as well.
Resigning Craig Conroy, aside from the fact that he can win faceoffs, he can't do much else. I mean, there's a lot of guys there who don't help you enough.
Let's wrap up this division with Minnesota, where I bet you nobody in Minnesota knows the NHL season is starting right now.
Let's skip Edmonton.
Well, no, we're going in order from last year.
Yes.
I mean, Minnesota, where they, I mean, between the Twins, I mean, the Twins and Yankees are playing. Yeah. Moss getting traded Moss there. Nobody knows that the Wild have started this season.
And they shouldn't. I mean, this is a team that's going sideways, as I just said. This is an organization that has some good talent on defense and has good goaltending, which is why I think they're going to be fourth in the division. But their offense, I mean, here, Pierre-Marc Bouchard needs to stay healthy. Concussion problems in the past. Who knows? Koivu still doesn't have anybody to play with. Hasn't forever. They gave too much money to Matt Cullen for a team that's really not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Latan Dress has to continue how he played when he came there. Havel has to stay healthy. Again, guys, question mark.
Too many things.
You know, I like the defense, especially because they can move the puck a lot, and Backstrom's a good goaltender. But at the end of the day, this team is just a mishmash of players. You know, older goaltender, younger defense for the most part.
We've been saying it all offseason. They have no identity at all.
That's exactly
They don't know what kind of team they want to be.
Well put.
Two things really quickly about the Wild. I think this is your 30th place team in the league this year.
Wow.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Nystrom ends up playing on the top line instead of the tenderness. Latendresse.
Tenderness.
They got Brunette and Mietten in there.
I think one of the things we haven't talked about, maybe the best news to come out of Minnesota, is that they signed Jose Theodore to a 1-year contract.
Well, they had to because they lost Harding.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the best news. I mean, he's not going to be the number one goalie because Backstrom's unreal. But, I mean, they've failed to land a top level guy.
And, yeah, exactly.
And Havlat was that top level guy, but
and they did that desperation when they lost Gabrick. One last one, Edmonton.
One last one quickly, Edmonton, because we're over time here.
All right, tons of talent quickly. This is a team that has holes. You know, Nikolai Happybullen is a veteran netminder, but jail sentence and all. I mean, Dubnyk, Delorier. Up front, there's a ton of young talent. They're going to score a lot, but can they defend? Can they play against other teams' best players? That's an issue. On defense, they're still lacking a fair amount, especially in terms of defensive defensemen. So overall, a year to grow, especially for guys like Pjärvi and Eberle and Hall, and then maybe a year to take steps forward like Cogliano and guys like that and Gagne and maybe even Brulé. But I can see Hemsky getting traded this year. I can see Penner getting traded this year.
And I think the fans in Edmonton are wise enough to know that they need this year. Yeah. You know, I think that they're not going to have any expectations in terms of wins and losses,
agreed,
but they just want to see an effort and talent on the ice.
Smart fan base.
Drew, I think Edmonton, if people think they're going to make the playoffs, I want them to make the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs.
I think if you look at the three big guys coming in, they probably have this is the biggest rookie splash, I think, in the league this year. Pjärvi, Eberle and Taylor
it
Hall
is,
and I do, and once again I do think Taylor Hall is gonna you know surpass his expectations, but I think goaltending and defense are
5 years from now this could be
lacking.
I mean Crosby, Malkin, and Taves and Kane. I mean, you if you're a bad enough team for enough years, you get to be a good team very quickly.
After Whitney and Gilbert, who aren't exactly the best defense in the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think Edmonton will improve by 10
speed,
points, though. They will be better.
They might finish
12th.
I think the worst thing that could happen to Edmonton this year is if they exceed expectations and they still if they finish 17th or 18th in the NHL, I think that's terrible for them.
Yeah, they could use another head.
They could use another top five pick. Another top five pick where they can shore up
pick a defense.
That's how the team develops, though, Drew. I mean, if they, I agree with that, but I mean, if they finish 17th or 18th and finish 9th or 10th in the West, for the team's development, that might be a little bit better. But I can't disagree with what Richie said really quick. I think Hemsky and Penner are going to get looks from those other Eastern Conference teams that want to add, you know, a little skill at the deadline.
Boston, absolutely. Okay, let's leave it there on the Northwest Division. When we come back, we're going to discuss the Pacific Division. We have Eric DeHatchick coming up. We have Scott Morrison coming up. We'll take more of your calls, 780-KICK, 780-5425. We're on Twitter, @IllegalCurve, and we're on Ustream, www.ustream.tv/IllegalCurve. Stay tuned. We have much, much more coming up on the Illegal Curve Radio Show, live on 92.9. Kick FM. I'm only getting sort of a calm see, calm saw there from Heartseek.
I guess it's best song, probably.
I love this song. It's Dream On.
Isn't this an Eminem song?
A lot of people think that's Zeppelin.
Yeah, it sounds very
commonly. A lot of people will call into radio stations asking for Dream On by Zeppelin.
Well, if you want to call into this radio station and talk hockey, 780-KICK-780-5425, or you know, send us your comments on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Remus is manning the R desk there, where I'm sure the activity is fast and furious. Let's move on to the Pacific Division.
Start off with the Sharkies.
That's for
Hey Now.
What was that, Larry Sanders reference?
Howard Stern does
Hey
Now.
Yeah, there you go.
Howard Stern likes Hey Now, too.
I know, it's from Larry Sanders.
Yeah, it's of course.
Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling.
Very underrated TV show, by the way.
It is great. I actually got into the first season. I loved it.
Yeah, anyways, the San Jose Sharks. They have finally jettisoned Evgeny Nabokov back to, wherever he is, Russia, KHL, Switzerland.
Yes.
Okay. St. Petersburg? Is that the team?
Ska. I think Ska from St. Petersburg. Yes. We already did the Ska joke about Ska bands, and then I say, yes, No Doubt is a Ska band originally. We've all done this. This isn't a replay of a show.
I can't wait till the blooper DVD comes out.
The blooper of the DVD of the show?
Just you, though, Drew. It's going to be a two-hour special edition, special bonus features package that we're going to start selling on the website.
You keep mentioning this website. Do we have a website and nobody told me about it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We also have a pony.
We're putting our predictions up there.
I had a pony. Richard, San Jose Sharks. Is this a threat in the Western Conference, or
I mean, not, of course they're a threat because they're one of the best regular season teams out there. The thing is about San Jose, especially this offseason, guys, they didn't do anything.
No, they got the two antes.
No, I realize that, but, like, you know, is that
a
significant upgrade over Nabokov? No, especially not in the regular season. Maybe it is in the playoffs. We don't know. Jury's out. I like both of their talent level. I think they're pretty good. They're not great, nothing special. But the thing is, you lose Rob Blake on defense, who's going to be fairly significant. And, I mean, you haven't really replaced him. I mean, you're adding Logan Couture, and you're hoping for better years, you know, progression from Pavelski instead of Gucci and the guys like that. But overall, what have you done to say, I'm going to go in there and beat Chicago, or I'm going to go in there and beat now a revamped Detroit, or I'm going to go in there and beat even Vancouver? I just don't, or even LA. I don't see it. I mean, this is a team that hasn't done and hasn't been able to get over the hump, and now they go into the summer and don't do anything, and they're resting on their laurels here, and then they're going to come back and say, oh, this is what we're going to beat them.
Are you saying that acquiring Jamal Myers wasn't a big move?
I realize that Nabokov let them down many times, but he wasn't the sole reason. So if you think you're somehow going to get better next year and get over the hump and beat those guys staying the same, I think this is actually a poor offseason for San Jose.
I think San Jose will still win the division, and I still think that they can even go to get to the second round. But I agree with you. I think the only way that this team takes the next step, which, by the way, if we're still talking about are the Sharks going to win the Cup year after now, it's every year since the lockout, maybe even before
even
the lockout. It's probably been 10 years of this.
Well, didn't they play the Flames in the conference finals?
Yeah. Who had won? Steve Monador had a winning goal for the Flames.
That's right, yeah. In San Jose, game one, wasn't it? You like that,
like that.
The only way it's going to happen is if the top six of the San Jose Sharks step it up another level, and when it comes to playoff time, they are dominant. They have to dominate, and that's the difference between the top teams, such as the Detroits, the Chicagos, the Vancouvers. Yeah. All the top six on those teams dominate, and hey, if you're listening, you're wondering, what do I mean by that? The Sharks dominate in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, they don't. And that's what I mean. They have to carry it through to the playoffs. And this is nothing new that I'm saying, but what always happens with these players is that they fall off. And Thornton is probably the biggest guy. Less so Marlowe. Oh,
absolutely.
Drew,
absolutely, Thornton.
But
absolutely.
Heatley, last year, you know, he still got his 40 goals. But really, that line, night in and night out, is going to have to dominate teams. And usually they do.
But they will until April.
Right, and then it comes to the playoffs, and they lose a game, and then they go into the other team's rink, and you know, they get beat badly. So
I mean, they beat Detroit last year, but again, yeah, I get over the next step. I mean, Thornton's 30 now. You know, you've had your prime years of Thornton in the playoffs every year, and you haven't done anything. Let's go to L.A.
Okay, let's go to L.A., a team that everybody's got circled as their, not even a sleeper at this point.
I got them winning the division.
Okay.
But it's really close. That's a flip-flop there between L.A. and San Jose either way. I'm going to take L.A. there. really haven't done actually that much over the offseason again. You switch in Ponikarovsky for Frolov. You could argue one way or the other that one's better than the other.
Willie Mitchell.
I really don't mind either player. I actually kind of prefer Ponikarovsky, but you could argue either way. And then Willie Mitchell, but O'Donnell. Willie Mitchell's better than O'Donnell, but obviously there's a concussion issue there. So I actually like the upgrade in terms of... Now, I didn't like the Mitchell contract because it was 2 years, but just in a vacuum here in 1 year in terms of him versus O'Donnell, he's better. You can play against better competition. Willie Mitchell's an upgrade there, and if Bernier ends up, I don't really think Jonathan Quick's that good. So if Bernier comes in and plays better than Jonathan Quick, again an upgrade. So and then you're getting better through some of the young players you have on the roster. You know, the Kopitar's only 22, and then you augment that kind of talent with some nice veteran talent. This team to me is as good as many other teams out there. Now, last year they showed that they were, you know, they're really a Frolov goal away in game four from being up 3-1 in Vancouver. So they can internally improve and get better goaltending and maybe add a scoring forward in the middle of the season. They're a legitimate Stanley Cup threat. But I like them better than San Jose over the course of the season.
And Richie, even though I still think the Sharks are going to win the division. I think LA is going to come very close if they
You got them winning the Cup?
They're still, I know. And as far as the regular season game goes, I think they're going to be an improvement. I mean, 101 points last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Frolov, departure was a little bit overstated. I mean, he was projected to be a better player there. So I don't think you're losing anything with Pony there. And Willie Mitchell, I mean, his absence was felt in Vancouver when he was injured in the playoffs. So I think LA, it's going to be interesting to see because a lot of people are projecting bigger years for Kopitar and Brown.
Sure.
And even like Jack Johnson and Doughty even, So I think on defense, this team has improved with Willie Mitchell over O'Donnell again. I mean, I'm kind of recycling what you said, but, those are my thoughts. I mean, this team is it will take the next step. I don't think with the talent there, they can't. And, they obviously lack one thing to take them maybe over Chicago, and that's the Kovalchuk. They went after Kovalchuk and didn't get him.
One more scoring winger.
Probably a team that would go after a Hemsky, right?
Or as Eddie Olchuk said earlier in the show, that's second line center. Because, Jared Stoll, for all he brings to the table, and that's a good point shot, and that's really good on faceoffs, and he can, kill penalties and stuff like that. The fact is, his offensive ability, especially at even strength, is not up to par for the National Hockey League top six level. So if they can add a second line center there and add a winger, maybe one of the other, they could be very dangerous.
We skipped Phoenix. Let's go to Phoenix. A team nobody saw coming last year. How do you see them performing this year?
Well, Phoenix made got a lot of their points last year from the shootout, which is, it's hard to predict 1 year from the next, and then also from their backup goaltending from Jason LaBarbera. I would expect both of those to drop off this year. Phoenix is a team that they add Ray Whitney, which helps. They lose their best defenseman, though, and that's Zdeněk Mihalik. So, mm-hmm. yep. I mean, Keith Yanal is a really good defenseman. I really like him, but Jovanovski is not what he once was. Morris is all right. O'Coin's not very fast. Sauer, same thing. He lacks foot speed. They lack speed on the back end, in my opinion. And up front, they don't have any game breakers. I like Scotty Upshall. I mean, they bring back Stepniak. They bring in Belanger and Whitney, which helps for the veteran players there. But their young players still have to take the next level, like the Tourists and guys like that. Their first line I don't love. They're going to take a step back, and not because they're a bad team, but because they really, really, really exceeded expectations last year.
Is this a team that could have taken a step forward had they really had a settled ownership situation, or are they still not quite at that point yet?
Could they have? Well, I think internally is the way they're going to get better, but... Brisglove, I think, will have a fall-off, too, there. I should add that in. But that would have helped, Drew. But, I mean, they signed Whitney, and they gave Whitney a 2-year deal of $3 million per year. I don't know how much it's going to be from the outside. I think this team, just ownership aside, internally, is just going to be young players and getting better. But they're not there yet. And I guess that point, your point does make some sense, Drew, in respect to Mihalik. They really could have kept him. That would have been very important.
If you wanted your opinion heard, 780-KICK, 780-5425. Let's move to Anaheim now to talk about the Ducks. Another team sort of in, they got their top three. They got probably the best line in hockey.
Arguably.
And then, again, there's just a significant drop-off there.
Well, there is. You're speaking of Getzlaf, Perry,
and Getzlaf,
Ryan,
Perry, and Ryan.
Not Bolesky, Koivu, and Solani.
No.
Well, Pavelski in it out there in the top six there. But then you're talking about Lupo hopefully getting back. But you have Salani great in the power play, and you have Koivu, and you have Blake, and you have offense. You could use a little bit of depth on the bottom forward lines there, Ezzy. And in all honesty, they still lack on defense. We spoke to Dan Wood, the color commentator for the Ducks Radio Network, about this about a month ago, and they haven't addressed the defense issue. So Hiller's a great goaltender, but with that defense still as it is, this team's going to be in the middle of the Western Conference there, but probably in the lower end as opposed to the higher end, only because there's not enough defense, in my opinion, to compete with those other teams night in, night out.
Well, let's go through the defensemen they lost since last year. Scott Niedermeyer. I mean, just stop it there. Scott Niedermeyer. You lost Scott Niedermeyer.
There goes your really high-ranked power play.
Well, there just goes your, the Hall of Fame defenseman, granted at the end of his career, but he was still performing at a high level last year, and you haven't done anything remotely close to try and replace.
Well, you can't replace
Scott Niedermeyer.
You signed Lidman, and who's a pretty solid defenseman, and you signed Andy Sutton, who... block shots and is physical, but
he's certainly not,
in my opinion, a top four defenseman. So in reality, your only real top four defensemen are Vishnovsky and Lidman, and then you have Spezza there who needs to take a step up, but he's young, and what do you expect from him? So,
well, I was just going to say, though, Cam Fowler's made the team.
Well, he's made the team for nine games.
He's now... They're starting the season because of that Ludman injury.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't include him in the top four D-man, especially because he's not big enough and strong enough to play defense.
Yeah.
They need defensemen. That shows the desperation, Drew.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Makes a good point, though. Yeah. I mean, he makes a team because they're desperate.
Yeah, because they're desperate. I mean, I don't think he's there for all year, though. I mean, I'd be shocked if he's there all year.
Boys, I think Anaheim will finish third in the division, ahead of Phoenix and Dallas.
Well, that's good. Well,
I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
Just finish off with Dallas, and then we'll get to our division predictions. So Dallas, I mean, another team, ownership troubles, financial troubles.
I think I know what's coming here. I think Richie's got Dallas in the three slot, right?
I got him in the three slot. Me too well.
How much of that is based on Lehtinen staying healthy?
What?
How much of that is based on Lehtinen staying healthy?
Some of it. But Drew, I mean, this is a team that can score.
Drew, you love goaltender's health. I'm going to put that out there right now.
Who's their backup goalie? Tell me who their backup goalie is.
Andrew Raycroft.
Well, exactly why you need Lehtinen to be healthy.
Hey, was Raycroft not a former Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, great. So is who was the guy on? So is Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's a fine actor.
Wasn't he a net detective?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Except he kept looking behind him and he kept finding the pucks behind him. That's where he was detecting the pucks after his rookie season.
Drew, what do you have against Jim Carrey?
Come on, Drew. Yeah. You can do better than that.
Sorry.
We got to hatch coming up quickly. Quickly, I'm going to say right now, Dallas is my surprise team, quote unquote, in the Western Conference.
The surprise
everybody's
that.
Got
Cats
them
out
finishing,
of the now.
Finishing low. I really, really, really like the way that their forward group is. I think they're probably going to dish out Ribeiro.
You like that Adam Burrish acquisition, don't you?
You talk about Richards, underrated year. You talk about Louis Erickson, underrated. Yeah. Brendan Morrow's going to have a bounce back year. Steve Ott's better than people think. Mm-hmm. James Neal's a good player.
Apparently, Stéphane Robidoux was voted one of the most underrated defensemen by his
colleagues.
Nicholas Grossman has talent. Matt Niskanen can be a solid stay-at-home guy. Well, Grossman can be a stay-at-home guy. Niskanen can move the puck a bit. Carlos Grassman's going to be a big help there, especially because he can block shots and play on the PK. Fitzrich, if he can come into his own, although he lacks foot speed. I mean, there is talent here. I think this team is my surprise team.
Drew, this is Richie making...
Somebody's calling in to tell me I'm wrong.
This is Richie making us look bad right now.
Well, when they finish 15th in the Western Conference, it's making you look good.
I think, all joking aside, I think there's reason to like this team. And I think Kari Lehtinen, who is a first-round pick, who is
great talent. I love Kari Lehtinen.
He is the key, though, when you look at the team last year, because Turco wasn't giving them outstanding goaltending, which he always did.
Yeah.
And that was the post Zubov era, and I really think that's significant, Rich. And I know that you always thought that Zubov was underrated for what he did. Stanley Cup winner, and he was always after those years where the Stars weren't a Stanley Cup contender, they still got into the playoffs. But I think Dallas will finish.
Give me your top five.
Last place, but I've got them fifth in the that division.
Okay, give me your top five.
Okay, San Jose 1, LA 2, Anaheim 3, Phoenix 4, Dallas 5.
We're totally different. I got LA 1, San Jose 2, Dallas 3, Anaheim 4. I got Phoenix 5. I got Phoenix dropping to 5.
I don't know. I got Anaheim at the bottom. Their defense is brutal.
Yeah, there is, but Phoenix isn't much better, Rivas.
They got Yandel.
Yandel, but I mean, Vishnovsky's a pretty good defenseman there.
Vishnovsky, he's an offensive defenseman.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. Ezzy made a compelling
case
there, though.
Richie's telling us not to sleep on Nicholas Grossman and Carlos Grassens. That's what he's saying.
Grassens, I like him. Veteran defenseman.
One guy Richard didn't mention that I like, sorry to butt in again, is Trevor Daley.
Trevor Daly.
I like him.
It's not bad. We just had a call. We don't have enough time to put him on air, but Owen Catelli just called in, and he says that you're wrong about Lehtinen and they're going to have a down year. We'll see.
Well, they can't much, how much more down can they go?
True. Well, I mean, they're not going to be as good. They're not going to be as good as. They're not going to be Richard Sleeper, is what
I'm
saying.
Get the Hatch on the air.
Okay, well, let's go to commercial break. When we come back, Eric the Hatch of the Globe and Mail. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live at 92.9 Kick FM. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. 8:23 tonight. On the season preview show. You guys know that one?
Killers?
That's Bones.
Yeah, very good. I thought Killers. I was going to fool you guys.
No, no chance.
No chance? Okay, Killers. Anyways. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. We're pleased to be joined by Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail. Eric, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us yet again here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Eric, are you ready for this season? Excited for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I am, actually. You know, I get excited about every new season. You know, 31 of them for me, and... Wow. You know, when you reflect back on the various opening nights that you've seen, you know, there's something special about it. I can understand why Mike Camilleri is upset that he can't play in the first game. You know, if you're suspended for game 34 of a 82-game season, a lot of times that's a welcome break. But, you know, to miss a game in your hometown on opening night with all the pomp and circumstance that we'll see in Toronto, that's tough.
Especially over something that happened in the preseason game against the New York Islanders of all teams.
Yeah, I got a split squad New York Islanders. Of all teams.
That's right. Eric, let's start with the defending Stanley Cup champions, because until somebody beats them, they're still the champs. Do you think that the Blackhawks have lost too much of their depth to repeat this coming season?
I don't, and I know I'm in the minority there, that a lot of people think that they lost really important, valuable role players that they can't replace, and I'll acknowledge that a lot of those guys did make contributions, and of the ones that are gone, I think they'll miss Chris Versteeg the most, because I think that, you know, he has that sort of sneaky inside-outside move, mm-hmm. and he could, you know, he's very rarely do you get a guy playing from 7 to 12 that can make something out of nothing. Usually if a guy can make something out of nothing, he's playing on one of your top two lines, and that's what Versteeg could do. So he gave them something that, you know, that they're not going to get with the people that they brought in. But I do think that, you know, they've got... really a really good supporting cast anyway. I mean, I think Fernando Pisani is going to be a helpful guy. I think, you know, certain guys are going to step up their roles. I think Troy Brouwer is going to play more. I think Thomas Kopecky is going to play more. If you've been watching them in the preseason, they've got him in front of the net on the first power play unit. Marian Hossa is on the second power play unit. So if Marian Hossa can be on your second power play unit, you still have a lot of depth. I think the other thing that these new guys bring is hunger and energy. And I think that the hardest thing coming off a long year like Chicago had, especially when, you know, where key players also play key roles on the Olympic teams, is sort of there's that natural tendency to exhale. You know, you have such a short summer, you're back at it again, and I don't think that, you know, that your focus is as strong as it was when you were trying to win that first Stanley Cup championship. But by having, you know, seven or eight new guys in the dressing room, all of whom want to win, including Marty Turco, the new starting goaltender, I think that in time you get over the hangover a lot more quickly when you've got guys like that there. If they'd have returned everybody, I think that they would not be in as strong a position to defend as they are with the group that they have right now.
Interesting. And Eric, let's talk about San Jose moving over there. And this is a team, year after year, we have the same conversation. But I'm a little bit perplexed by just the offseason. I mean, they do the whole goaltender switch, and then they lose Rod Blake. But they haven't done anything to upgrade. Do you see that as being a major flaw moving into the season?
Yeah, that's my analysis of it, too. You know, I think that when they took the captaincy away from Patrick Marleau, it ended up being a good thing, because mm-hmm. Marleau had a terrific year on the ice. And some players just aren't cut out to be captains in terms of what's required in the modern era. You know, like basically, you know, 20 times a year on the 20 worst performances that your team makes, you've got to be front and center in front of the cameras explaining why that is. And, you know, he's just a shy, retiring guy, and I don't think he's very comfortable in that role. So I think by not forcing him to be the captain, it doesn't take away from his leadership role. I mean, he's a big, tough guy and really well-liked and respected in the dressing room. Those guys love Patrick Marleau, and people like playing with Patrick Marleau because he opens up a lot of ice. You know, for a big man, he moves really well. I mean, he's a really, really good hockey player. And so I think that was a very wise move, you know, allowing a guy like Rob Blake, who's, you know, well-liked, well-respected, and just has this calm, steadying presence. I mean, San Jose had their best playoff run in years, and I think a lot of it had to do with Blake's quiet leadership. So, you know, but Robbie, I think, knew that last year was going to be his final season in the National Hockey League. And, you know, where do you find a guy like that? Well, they're hard to find. But I do think that, the onus was on them to try and find one more top four defenseman. Because, you know, when I analyze what they've got there, yeah, everybody likes Dan Boyle and Marc-Edouard Vlasic, I think, is coming on. But I think, you know, like they're putting a lot of pressure on Jason Demers, and you know, and I'm not sure that Kent Huskins can play above, you know, a six, maybe a five right now. So I think they're a bit more vulnerable on defense, and it becomes critical because, you know, they do have those question marks in goal. I mean, you know, on the one hand, you could say, okay, they do have a goaltender that has won a championship in Antti Niemi, but both Niemi and Nidamäki are not proven commodities in the National Hockey League, so we're just going to have to see what kind of chemistry evolves there. You know, it's possible that they may miss Evgeny Nabokov more than they think.
Do you think the Vancouver Canucks deserve the hyper-hype they're receiving before the season starts?
Well, I think they're a really good team, but I think it's a bit over the top. And you know, we're guilty of it ourselves. You know, on our globesports.com poll on Monday, we asked, you know, which Canadian team has the best chance of winning the Stanley Cup. And really, it was Vancouver by default. I mean, I think among the six Canadian teams, they do have the best team. I think the Sedins are going to have another wonderful season. I think when Alex Burrows comes back, they're going to have two really strong lines. I like what they did on defense, obviously, because they were sort of missing that sort of sandpaper ingredient, and I think that Ham, Hughes, and Ballard give them a little bit more. And, you know, skilled guys like Edler and Erhoff are still there. So, you know, they've got some nice pieces. But, you know, they're not great in the third and the fourth lines right now, and I think that, you know, they may be an injury or two away from being, you know, just a little bit better than average. So, you know, while I like their team, and I think that, you know, that they are a top four team in the Western Conference, you know, I'm not prepared to concede the conference championship to Vancouver the way so many other people are. I think that, you know, they're going to be in tough to try and, you know, to be in the top four again.
The team that Vancouver knocked out last year in the first round, LA, actually a very good series, the LA Kings, you know, swap out Frolov, bring in Ponikarovsky, obviously swap out O'Donnell and bring in Willie Mitchell, and then obviously the possibility of Jonathan Bernier really coming into his own, obviously excelling very much at the AHL level, maybe taking the next step this year. Do you see this team just being, forget the kind of the transactions they made, just becoming a better team because of the young players on their team are only, the best players are only 20 and 21 or 22, and they can just become better players?
Well, you know, it's going to be hard for Drew Doughty to get much better. I mean, this is a guy that at the age of 20 was the second best defenseman in the National Hockey League last year. So I don't know, you know, how much better can he be? Can he be 20% better than he was last year? If so, then, you know, then this guy, you know, at the age of 21, we can start talking about the Hall of Fame, because then he's Ray Bourque. You know, there's very few defensemen that, you know, get to that level and that don't just plateau but continue to get better. I think the one guy on defense that I'm interested in watching is Jack Johnson, because he's a guy that has had a slow and down kind of start to his NHL career. But the way he played in the playoffs against Vancouver last year, and I think the confidence he got from playing in the Olympics, makes me think that this is a guy that could, you know, make the biggest improvement among the Los Angeles Forwards. But, you know, it's funny, I was looking at their roster earlier today when they said it, and I just don't think that they've got enough up front. You know, when you think about you know, Ponikarovsky for Frolov, at best, that's a wash. But, you know, I think Frolov is actually a better offensive guy. You know, they're relying on a couple of guys, Justin Williams and Ryan Smith, that are injury-prone. So who knows how many games they'll get out of those guys. And, you know, Kopitar, you know, love him as a player. But, you know, like after Kopitar and Dustin Brown, who do you get excited about among their forwards? I think if they had been able to win the Kovalchuk sweepstakes, I could get excited about them. You know, I think in time, Braden Schenn, the young center that made the team, is going to be a terrific second-line center, but I don't know that at the age of 19 that he's going to be that guy. So, you know, Michael Hans, I don't know. I look at their forwards and I say to myself, you know, is there enough there, you know, to push Chicago? You know, because I think that, you know, they're basically modeling themselves after the Chicago blueprint. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they didn't do was, you know, go out and spend in the free agent market to supplement the young core that they developed. So I think they're a year away. I think they're going to be a good team. I think they're a playoff team. But I don't think that they're going to be a whole lot better than they were last year.
Ed Olchuk was on the show earlier, Eric, and he made the same point. He basically said that if LA doesn't add that maybe second line center, he doesn't think that they can take that next step this year.
No. And, you know, when you ask the original question, I think you implied a good point, which is that sometimes when you have a young team, just having one full year of experience under your belt is enough to make you better. You could, you know, retain the status quo, But, you know, 21-year-old Drew Doughty theoretically is better than 20-year-old Drew Doughty, and 23-year-old Jack Johnson is better than 22-year-old. And you know, Jonathan Bernier, of course, is the X factor in the thing. The only thing I would say to that is that the goaltending wasn't an issue last year. I mean, Jonathan Quick was a terrific goaltender for them for the first 70 games, and then to me it looked like he ran out of gas.
So many
wasn't
games.
Wasn't quite as sharp as he, you know, as he needed to be in the Vancouver series. But, you know, theoretically it should be, what, 55 games for Quick, about 25 to 27 for Bernier. And, you know, in time, Bernier will probably do what Marty Brodeur did. And remember, when Marty Brodeur came up, he split the job with Chris Terreri, sure. And then eventually he took it over. And I think that that's the, you know, the succession plan in Los Angeles. I would be shocked if Bernier played more than a third of the games this year. I think that it is Quick's job to lose. I think he will be their guy this year, and I think, you know, starting next year, once Bernier has an NHL season under his belt, that's when they're really going to look at him as being their number one guy.
Eric, how significant is it that Detroit's starting the year with Yuri Hudler and Mike Modano on their third line?
Well, I'm one of those people, and you know, I'm sure that you've got a bunch of them, that think Detroit is kind of a sleeper, which is an odd thing to say about a team that has been, as you know, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League for the last 15 years. But I do think that people sort of think that the foundation there is going to start to crumble soon. And I don't agree with that. I think that they're the players that make a difference there, you know, the Zetterbergs, Datsyuks, and Franzens are all in their primes. I mean, you know, you could look at Nicholas Lidström and say, yeah, he's 40 years old. Is he the same player that he was at 31? No. You know, he had a little bit of a falling off of his game last year, but not that much. You know, and I think as long as Lidström and Rafalski are viable players, viable stars, which is really what they are, I think Detroit is, you know, potentially the best team in the conference. A lot will depend on Jimmy Howard. You know, a lot of times a goaltender like Howard, who had that long minor league apprenticeship, comes up, you know, has a very good first year. You know, can he be as good in his second year? You know, was he a one-hit wonder? Was he, you know, a Blaine Lacker or somebody along those lines? And I think that's the real key. If their goaltending is solid, and that's all it has to be, I think Detroit is, you know, maybe the best team in the conference.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve radio show by Eric Dehatchik of the Globe and Mail. Now, Eric, you're based in Calgary, and you know, one of the big additions to, you know, sort of off ice for the Flames this year was Jay Feaster as the assistant general manager. If the Flames start off slowly this year, is it possible that Daryl Sutter doesn't finish the year as general manager in Calgary?
No, I don't think there's any doubt that both Daryl Sutter and Brent Sutter are here, at least for the season, and you know, perhaps longer. You know, a lot of people think that Feaster was brought in as a potential successor to Daryl Sutter. Yeah, that could happen, but I don't think that, you know, that he's sort of looking over his shoulder and, you know, and sort of prepping himself for that job. I think that, you know, they brought him in because, you know, there's a consistent voice in this organization, you know, and you know, if you look at the people that are there, you know, even the assistant coaches, you know, the Ryan McGills and the Dave Lowrys, they all come from the same kind of old school. And I think that the thing about a guy like Jay Feaster, Georgetown Law, is somebody has to play devil's advocate. You know, and you know, you can go along with the overriding organizational philosophy 80% of the time, but sometimes somebody has to stand up in the room and say, wait a minute, let's look at it from a different perspective. And I think that that's what Feaster brings to the mix. I mean, he's somebody that I admire greatly. I know I did a longer profile of him after Tampa won the Stanley Cup and spent a little time with him and really like him. You know, I mean, he worked with Jacques Demers when, you know, Demers was hiding the fact that, you know, that he couldn't read or write. And he, you know, he's just a genuinely good person and a really good hockey person and a good fit for an organization that needed that kind of a voice. But I think that organizationally, the ownership group in Calgary has told, you know, Daryl, you know, this is your team, you know, this is your philosophy, this is your commitment, you know, show us that, you know, that you have the right stuff and that, you know, the direction that you're leading us into is the right one. And I think that they have given him, you know, I think at the end of the season, he made his case and he convinced the owners that, you know, some by hook or by crook, that he was the right man for the job for this year. And they don't do things precipitously here. I think they've only ever fired a general manager once in 30 years in the National Hockey League. So I don't see that happening again here. I do think, though, if the Flames miss the playoffs this year, there will absolutely be an organizational rethink. And, you know, then it's possible that, you know, that Daryl Sutter might lose his job. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people think that the Flames will make the playoffs this year. And I think for sure they're in that mix of teams in that 6-12 range, yeah, where I think that, you know, I think every one of those teams is virtually identical. It will just depend on injuries.
I'm not sure if these two teams are in that mix, Eric, but two teams last year who really surprised people, and that's Colorado and Phoenix. Which of those teams do you think has a bigger regression this year?
Colorado, because I think Phoenix is going to be fine. You know, they were through here just before they went over to Riga, and had a chance to look at their roster. And the thing that strikes you about them is that while they may not have the same high-end talent as at Pittsburgh or Washington, they have a roster that's just full of canny NHL veterans, you know, and that's what they do really well. They, you know, they go into the free agent market, and who do they get? They get Ray Whitney, you know, like Ray Whitney just knows how to play the game. You know, Eric Bélanger, he just knows how to play the game. You know, he wins, you know, 60% of his faceoffs. You know, he's responsible defensively, and when you put him in an offensive role, he'll score 15 even strength goals for you. And they just have a roster that's full of those guys. And, you know, I'm standing there, you know, when they're going on the ice, and, you know, here comes Derek Morris, and here comes Ed Jovanovski, and here comes Briz Gallo, and everybody stops to shake hands and chat, and they're comfortable in their skins. They really get, you know, what's going on there. You know, they don't seem to be bothered at all by the uncertainty of, you know, whether the team is going to be in Phoenix beyond this year or moving to Winnipeg. They're just professionals, and sometimes that, you know, consistent level of professionalism that you see in some organizations and not others really pays off on the ice, and you know, like, it comes from Dave Tippett and Dave King and the people that are running the team, and so, you know, they got a lot out of not very little on paper last year, and I think they're going to do the same. Now, Colorado's different. You know, I think that they're a little bit more erratic. I like some of the young players that they've got there, and you know, the formula was the same. You know, for what Briz Gallov gave Phoenix in goal, that's what Craig Anderson did for Colorado. I just think that Colorado relies more on their kids, and so kids that had great years like the ones that Colorado had last year, sometimes there's a little bit of a regression. The development curve is not always straight up. Mm-hmm. Whereas Phoenix, just because they rely so much on those veterans, you know, unless the bottom starts to fall out of their games, and I don't see it happening for most of the guys that they've got there, I think they'll be consistently good. Colorado, I think, is just going to be a little bit more erratic this year.
I think you raised some really good points. I think people forget that Phoenix wasn't really that far away from winning the conference last year. They had 107 points. I mean, people forget that and don't give them enough credit for the season that they had. And, you know, right now I want to continue a tradition that we started last year, and we want to ask you who you think is going to win the Western Conference.
Well, I think it'll be Detroit. You know, like, if you're talking about, you know, the regular season, and I assume that's what you're asking, I think that on paper Detroit has the best team right now. And I think that, you know, that what we saw from Detroit after the Olympic break, when they got all their people healthy, is their real team. And I think the other thing that happened was that because they were eliminated in the second round, mm-hmm. they had a much longer break than they usually have. And I think for older players, you know, having a little bit of extra time off, I think it really helped recharge the batteries of Brian Rafalski, Nick Lidstrom, and a couple of those guys that had played an awful lot of hockey in the last 3 years. Now, you know, I want to see how everybody's lineup looks, you know, going into the playoffs before I make a prediction there. And, you know, it's possible that we'll see some trades, although it doesn't happen very often. So I just think that, you know, to me, there's going to be kind of a status quo quality to the Western Conference. You know, I think a lot of people are looking for, you know, like, big volcanic movements up and down. But I think the best teams last year are the best teams this year, too, with a possible exception of Colorado. I'm not sure, you know, where they fit into the mix. And I think that if they lose their playoff spot, somebody like a Calgary, you know, could possibly edge up into that spot. But, you know, I haven't seen anything from the Big Four that makes me think that they're going to be anything but the Big Four again this year.
Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Legal Curve Radio Show's 2010 NHL Season Preview Show.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks Eric.
Appreciate
Take care.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
It's great.
Yeah. That winds up the Western Conference, and when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to be joined by Scott Morrison of Hockey Night in Canada to start our talk about the Eastern Conference. We're with you until 10 o'clock here tonight on Kick FM. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.